بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal for having gathered us here once again. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakina to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Indeed, the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very powerful because these, as we have said many a time, were words that He, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who then passed on the message or the words to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, who then passed on the message to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then passed on that message to us. So as a reality, on the ground, when we read the Quran, we are reading words that Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal spoke in a manner that is befitting to Him, not similar to our speech in any way. But when we recite, we are reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the voice is the voice of the reciter. In the same manner or similarly, yet Allah has the highest of examples. If we say that this man wrote a book, and we are reading his book amongst the people, then we will say we are reading his words. Yet the voice is the voice of the reciter. So some people have a misconception and misunderstanding regarding the words of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Let us make no mistake. These are words that He spoke to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's what makes it so powerful. When we recite, we're taking refuge in a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I thought it befitting that we move on to the explanation of the last 10 surah of the Quran, which we recite so often in our salah. We recite Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil and the rest of the surah. So it's important for us to understand what we are reciting in these verses when we recite them, so that when we say Allahu Akbar, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. So Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not considered what your Rabb has done with the people, the companions of the elephants? The companions of the elephants. Now, at the time, there was a man known as Abraha in Yemen. And this man was a political leader. He was appointed by the Negus at the time, and Najashi at the time had appointed him as a leader in Al-Yaman. So he was the leader, and he saw that the demographics of the region was such that the people would actually go to Mecca to perform the Hajj. And Quraysh, even though they were not Muslimin, they would perform Hajj, they would go to Muzdalifah, they would go to Arafah, they would actually enter into the Kaaba. The ones who had clothes from amongst Quraysh wore their clothes. The ones from amongst the foreigners who did not have clothes, they would come to Quraysh, ask them for some clothes, and if they did not find any and they could not wear any, they would perform Tawaf of the Kaaba stark naked. So even though they performed the Hajj, even though they performed the Tawaf, they had these ideological differences to the Muslimin. Later on, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the message of Tawheed, explaining to them that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. In fact, the Talbiyah that we recite was recited by the Kuffar of Quraysh, except that there was a difference. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إلا شريكا ملكته وما ملك. They would actually say that we are present for you, O Allah. We are present for you, O Allah. And there is no one worthy of worship except you and a partner that you have appointed as your partner. You control him, you own him, and everything that he owns. So they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he came to call to the oneness of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. They were already worshipping Allah. They were already worshipping Allah, but they would worship Allat, Al-Uzza, Al-Manat, and say, we're getting closer to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. What does this teach us? What does this teach us? Our peers, our sheikhs, our maulanas, our muftis, our people who are high ranking in society, we will never worship them. Because when you worship them, then you are actually closer to Quraysh and what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to refute and to remove the people from, then you are closer to Islam. Allahu Akbar. So if we consider this in reality, some people have raised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love him, we respect him, but we don't worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the same manner that we don't worship Isa and Musa and the rest of them, the rest of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man had actually decided that I want to build a church that is bigger and better than the Kaaba in Al-Yaman. So he built a church, and the people would come to this church. So one of the Arabs that was visiting at the time, he saw this church and he realized the evil intent of the man by building that church. He didn't want to do it really and truly for his God or for the God that he was worshipping, but he wanted to do it because he wanted the people to come to Al-Yaman rather than going to Mecca. So what he did is he went into the church and he defecated in it. He took that defecation, smeared it onto the walls and walked out. This angered Abraha. It made him really furious, really angry. And he now built up an army, got together some elephants and said, we're going to destroy the Kaaba. He had a powerful army. So as he went, he came across the Arab tribes. And when they found out what he was intending to do, they fought him. They said, you cannot go to destroy this house. It is a sacred house. They fought him. They were defeated. He carried on. He came across other tribes. He fought them. He defeated them. He carried on. And then he reached a place where there was a tribe known as Thaqif. And Thaqif came out to him and asked him, what do you want to do? Do you want to destroy Allat? So he says, no, I don't want to destroy Allat. So they told him that, okay, in that case, what do you want to do? I want to break down and destroy the Kaaba. They not only helped him and told him, you are right in what you are doing, they gave him a man, take this man and he will show you the road. Allahu Akbar. So they took this man and they began to move. As they are moving to Mecca, this man who was guiding them died on the road. And his grave, they buried him there and they left him there. Remember, this is all before Islam, before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before Nubuwa. Some people say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in this year of the elephants. Other people say he was born 2 years before. But regardless, it was before the coming of Islam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not born a Nabi, he was given the Risala. He was given the message at a certain age. So Abu Righal was this man who was actually guiding them to Mecca to destroy the Kaaba. He died and they buried him. It is said later on in his life, as people would pass his grave, the Arabs would actually pelt his grave saying, Tabban lak, how could you do what you did? And they would swear him pelting his grave. So this was his demise and this was his end. They then moved to Mecca al-Mukarrama. And when they got to Mecca, or the boundary of Mecca, then the leader or amongst the leaders was the grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were elders in Mecca. They were no real leaders, but they were elders in Mecca that were there, that were all looked up to. The people went to them for advice. The people asked them for guidance in certain situations. So this leader or this elder, the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib, he comes out to Abraha. And he tells him, what have you come for? So Abraha looks at him and says, And he's standing up on his chair, or he's sitting up on his chair, and this man is standing beneath. So he thinks, perhaps I should bring him up to my chair. And then he says to himself, you know, if I bring him up to my chair, then he's going to be sitting at par with me. So let me go down to him. So he went down to him, sat down with him. And he said, what have you come? He was very impressed by Abdul Muttalib because he was dressed very well. He was looking smart. So it impressed him. He asks him, Abdul Muttalib asks him, what have you come for? And he tells Abdul Muttalib, I've come to destroy this Kaaba of yours. So the response of Abdul Muttalib was very, very puzzling. He looks at him and he says, you know, there are 200 camels of mine that your people have stolen, return those camels. So Abraha initially was very impressed by him. And then he thought, what is wrong with this man? I've come to destroy this sacred house, amazing historical house. And he's asking me about 200 camels that we've stolen of his. There's something wrong with him. So he told him this. He says, what's wrong with you? And Abdul Muttalib then said a statement that actually resonated throughout the world later on. He said, Ana Rabbul Ibil. I am the master of the camels. Walil bayti rabbun yahmihi. And the bayt, the house, has a rabb which will look after it. Who will look after it? So these words continue until today. People mention them all the time. The reality is, it was a kalima of tawheed. These are camels that are under my care. Yet the house has a rabb who will protect it. Abraha then said, okay, here's your camels, take them. Abdul Muttalib goes down into the valley of Mecca. He tells the people to evacuate, go into the mountains, make sure you secure yourselves. They went into the mountains, they secured themselves. And Abraha then decided, I need to now move ahead. He begins to beat the camel, or the elephant. He's beating it, it doesn't move in the direction of the Kaaba. He beats it some more, it doesn't move in the direction of the Kaaba. And then he turns it slightly to the east, slightly to the west, and it moves. And he's thinking, hey, why is it moving in the rest of the directions? It's not moving in this direction. And then eventually, all of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes this. And very interesting, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not there to see the scene that happened. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, did you not see, O Muhammad, how your Rabb did with the companions of the elephants? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking him, did you not see? Yet he had not seen. Because Allah was telling him to ponder upon the outcome of what had happened to these people. That you are suffering, you are going through problems. Don't worry, I will look after you. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. And Allah uses the word رَبُّكَ, your Rabb did with the people of the elephants. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more deserved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these people who were defiant with Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So he's giving him a condolence and comforting him that Rabbuka, I am your Rabb. I will look after you. I will defend you. I will protect you. Bi ashabil fil, the people of the elephants. So imagine at the time you have camels, you have goats, you have sheep, and all of a sudden this man has come with elephants, the largest of animals that these people have ever seen. And there was a huge army of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Did he not make their plot into a misguidance? They were completely misguided. It was a flop and a failure. Did you not see that, O Muhammad? Do you not see how we dealt with them? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا. And he sent upon them birds, ababil. The name of these birds were ababil. And these were birds in response to huge elephants that had come to destroy the Kaaba. What is this? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to myself and yourself? He's telling us that no matter how big we get, no matter how great you think you are, hold on, the smallest of the creatures of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal drops stones from above And these stones came directly through the animal, splitting them, destroying them in half. Gone. Nothing left. The people that were there, the army that was there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split them with stones. They had destroyed so many armies along the way. So many Arab tribes, they had just barreled through and actually gotten to the other side. Yet they came to the house, and just a bird from a distance in the sky drops a stone and the animal drops dead. Allahu Akbar. At this point we realize the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never underestimate the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if you are on His side, especially if you are engaged in His work, if you are doing that which pleases Him. You come to the masjid, you perform your salah, you go through these problems, day-to-day problems. Know that Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal did not discard you. He has not discarded you. He has not left you. He will look after you and He will protect you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through all sorts of problems, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him, looked after him, and he actually became, or he was always, the best of creation. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّنْ سِجِّيلٍ, striking them with stones of hard clay. They were being struck with stones of hard clay. And this is how this huge animal came down and dropped to the ground. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their condition after as something amazing, astounding. If you sit and think about this, you will be shocked to understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. فَجَعَلَهُمْ, so He made them like eaten, chewed up straw. Have you ever seen an animal that grazes and the straw is being chewed up, mastigated in the mouth, literally, to the point where there is absolutely no straw left, but you can see yellow and it's mixed with saliva. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying He made them like eaten, chewed up straw. This army that came so powerful in their might, ready to destroy the Kaaba, is now being described as eaten straw. That teaches us a huge lesson that if we don't take heed from, then we really and truly are losers. So these people actually returned to Al-Yaman, and it is said that they were like eaten straw. Some of them Allah kept them alive. Their chests were split open. And they went back to their leaders in order for the people to see what had happened to them, and then they dropped dead. Allahu Akbar. So this is the tafsir of أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. And the reality is that we read it every day, or we read it a lot of times in our salah, but we don't understand the meaning of it. Perhaps if we look into the meanings again and again, then we will begin to gain and derive a joy from our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to resolve all our disputes before we go into our graves. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.